Christian Business Podcast, Episode 1.
Welcome to CBMC Orange County Podcast, where you will hear firsthand testimony from business owners and working professionals just like you, living out their faith as marketplace ambassadors for Jesus Christ. Now, here's your host, Robert Kempen.
Welcome to the inaugural podcast for CBMCOC.com. CBMCOC.com is a resource for Christian businessmen in Orange County that are looking to connect with other like-minded individuals. As Christian men, we're focused on workplace discipleship and spreading the word of Jesus Christ to those that we come in contact. The gentleman that you'll hear today is a prime example of what it means to be a workplace ambassador. Don Frost has over 30 years experience in the insurance and financial services industry. And recently, he had a chance to come out and share his testimony with a great group of guys out in North Orange County. We were privileged to have him out to share his testimony, to get to know him as a man and also as a fellow follower of Jesus Christ. His story is one that many could relate to, and I think you'll be thrilled to hear what he has to say. So without any further ado, Mr. Don Frost.
I'd like to tell you guys, I'm nobody special. I'm nobody special, but God has struck my heart when I was 25 years old. Before that, I was a Catholic, but not a very good Catholic. I used Catholicism as my social network. When I was a young boy, it was a good place to go to dances, play sports. Wednesday night, the dinner was better at the church than it was at home, because all the ladies would bring all their different, the church potluck. I looked forward to it. Not only could you get one piece of cake, you could get many pieces of cake. And the lady said, well, you didn't try mine. And Mom, she wants me to try mine. It's one of those beautiful things when calories didn't matter. But what really struck me when I got out of the service, that's how I went to UCLA. I signed up at the end of my sophomore year for the PLC program. I was a walk-on. I never got a scholarship, but I wound up starting. And then when I was going to get my junior year, Pepper Rogers was going to give me a scholarship, I told him I didn't need the scholarship. And he was astounded. And I said, because the Marine Corps is paying me to go to school, and I can play football, plus I got E5 pay. So it was better than a scholarship. I had more money than some of the superstars that might have got paid on the side. I wasn't that good. But I was an angry young man. My dad was a Marine. His career was his life. And so from when I was born, my dad was in Korea. The man that came that would look like you with a mustache, you remind me of my grandfather, I thought that was my father. So when my father came home when I was almost 2 years old, I didn't know who he was. And apparently I kind of made him sad because I didn't like him. I didn't like him. And so we always moved around. I went to 3 different high schools, 5 different schools, and I miss my father. I didn't realize how much a father plays in someone's life. So I was an angry man, a young man. I didn't feel love. My mom was not a very loving person, and because she was worried that if she did too much tenderness around us, that we would become gay. That would never be a problem with me. The 8th wonder of the world, still a beautiful woman. And I happen to have one. Her name is Carolyn Joyce Frost. And so I tell young ladies that get older and don't marry Prince Charming, I say, when I was a young man, the 8th wonder of the world was a beautiful woman. You might say it would be Prince Charming. I said, but you know, if you don't find that person, I'm going to tell you what the 8th wonder of the world is. It's called compound growth. So you don't have to rely on anybody else. So we can build your financial nest egg that you won't run out of money. And they go, Mr. Frost, you are on it. I don't want to depend on anybody. So isn't it funny how you can use different things? I was fortunate to be trained by a real Catholic Christian guy in Anaheim, California. When there used to be, a lot of you guys are old enough to remember, on Euclid and West Crescent, the California federal building, they had the big temperature on. We were a suite 250. And I remember I answered an ad. I couldn't get a full-time teaching job. And this was a management program, and I took a day off from school, and I'm thinking, oh my God, this is insurance. But he was going to buy my lunch, and I did take the day off. And make a long story short, met with him a couple times, and the thing that was the most intriguing thing about the opportunity is what I was looking for. I always thought, when I say I was better than somebody else, I'm talking being effective. Okay, I'm not saying I'm better looking or smarter, but I would, whatever deficiencies I might have in accomplishing my objective, I would work on getting it better. So when you told me, my mantra has been, in every way, with God's help, I'm going to be a little bit better. Doesn't mean I'm going to make more money. I'm going to be a better father. I want to be a better trainer. I want to be a better husband. But I'm going to do it with God's help. So I went, when I was 25 years old, and I had some success, and it was not fulfilling. What if you get to be successful? You get awards. You got different levels of awards when I was with Prudential, you have like Top Star Club, Regional Club, and then President's Club. What if you make that 3 years in a row, and you're the youngest guy in Orange County to be a member of the round table, and you're still unhappy? Well, seeking the wrong things. But you don't know it. You're seeking those things of man. Now, you didn't really know that's what you're doing, but I just knew I wanted to be successful, and I listened to what the guy had said. But let me just tell you, the guy that was really my trainer wasn't my boss. It was a man in the back room, 64 years old, when I was 25. His name is George Anstey. And he said, young Mr. Frost, I want to tell you something. You have a good presence about yourself. You are a very likable guy. You are very convincing. I want to give you the secret of becoming the most successful person you could ever be. And I'm going to give it to you in two ways. Number one, I want you, when you talk to a customer, ask them this question. What's your first name? Mark. Before we get started here in our interview today, what would you like to talk about, or what would you want to help you with? That question sounds so easy, but whatever Mark wants to talk about is the right thing for me to talk about. I instantly, my interview got cut in half, and I focused right on what they want. Second thing he said to me, which really I should have put first in order, was, let me tell you, before you tell, and I'm actually pretty smart, but I'm not going to pat myself on the back. I graduated college from honors, but that was so long ago. And I'm a lifelong learner, and I love reading the Bible, and I love reading about biographies, and I love reading about business. But this is more important, and I was telling these young ladies, to be a good salesperson, what can you tell us that's your secret, Mr. Frost? Hey, I don't want it to be a secret, and I don't want it to be a secret from you. There's four things I'm going to tell you. Number one, you better be likable. Number two, you better be trustworthy. Number three, they better think you're smart, or at least smarter than them. And most important, let's flip it in the right order, that you care. You care about them more than anybody else that they've ever talked to about what you're doing. And I'm going to tell you something. You can't do that with everybody, because some people don't really want to be helped. They think they're smarter than you. And I know how to exit those interviews pretty fast. And I catch them off guard. And I'm a pretty bold guy. But if you want to be helped, I'm going to help you. And they go, Mr. Frost, I can't believe. And so we did a couple interviews. We did some role playing and stuff like that. But let me go back to I'm 25. So my office is in Anaheim, picture Anaheim, middle of Anaheim, old Anaheim, east Anaheim. And I'm going down to San Juan Capistrano. Well, that was a long ways back in the day. That was over 30 miles. And they lived on the Ortega Highway, a couple miles off the 5 freeway. And the guy was a CPA for a company in Garden Grove. I can't remember the company. But he wanted to bite me for dinner. He says, we have already decided, Mr. Frost, to make you our agent. Well, Mr. Byers, why would you do that? I talked with you on the phone. I talked to your manager. I asked him about you. He said, this man will be the finest man you could ever have. And he's younger than you are. And he'll probably outlive you and will serve your family well. That was my manager said. So then I get to the meeting. They had an altar in their house. They had, like at your church, where the pastor has a little podium and he has his big Bible on it. They had the biggest Bible that I've ever seen that wasn't in a church. And so, Don, let's sit down. And his 12-year-old boy, his name was Mark, by the way, and he gave a prayer. He gave a prayer better than anybody I ever heard of that wasn't a pastor or a priest. And then we had dinner and what we talked about, and the kids interviewed, they interviewed, and they bought a policy from me. And I'm saying, man, if I have a family, I want to be a family like this. So that's what I'm thinking. So Mr. Byer says, you didn't ask me if I was a Christian. Don't ever ask anybody if they're a Christian. Ask them where they go to church. And I said, well, I go to Catholic church. with my wife. I'm an usher, but really I talk football. We take the offering and I go back and I talk football. I want to invite you to my church. Well, he bought a big policy and it wasn't like, I said, okay, I'll go. I'm figuring this church is going to be too far away, right? This is God has a sense of humor. The church is in El Toro High School at the time. It was Lake Hills Community Church. Where did I live? Serrano and Lake Forest Drive. I could walk there. Says if I invite, so now I don't have an out. It's too, I don't have an out. Don, it gets better. If you come in, you, when do you go to Mass? 11 o'clock. Ours is at 8 o'clock, 8:30, but if you come at 8 o'clock, we'll feed you a free breakfast burrito. I'm thinking, hey, I like food. So I go there and he sits in the front row because apparently he's an elder at the church and, the pastor preaches from the Bible. You gotta understand if you're Catholic, basically the same Mass as everywhere else. Now, you got a priest that adds a little bit or really is kind of like with the program, not just a job to him. It's atypical, okay? This Dr. Leesma used to be associate pastor for Reverend Shuler, and started this church. It was like, a satellite church. And man, he was good. He would read the Bible, go over the Bible, and, at the end of the service, I'll never forget his style. It'd be like, Robert, like he's talking to you. Robert, if you disagree with anything that I'm saying, or you think I'm misinterpreting it, please make an appointment with me. That was so intriguing. I never had a man of God that thought he could be wrong, right? Or anybody in charge could be wrong, right? My CO always thought he was right. My dad always thought he was right. My coaches always thought they were right. I knew I wasn't always right, okay? So I had no, so I thought that was good. So I came 8 weeks in a row. Sometimes I'd come for the burrito. Other times I'd just go to the church. I'd go home and tell my wife, man, this is just amazing. Well, finally he says, Don, another guy didn't know Robert Byers told this other businessman that he's an insurance agent. So he comes up to me, I hear you're an insurance agent. So he says, I'd like to invite you to a Thursday morning prayer. It was at the Jolly Roger. It used to be right on Lake Forest Boulevard, right real close to the 405 freeway. He says, we meet for prayer with 45 other business people. Now, mind you, I'm not a Christian. 45 people that I get to know. All right. I'm going to try to be as cool as I can. But I figure I'm like a fox in a chicken coop, right? I go there and these men pray. And oh my God, I'm not going inside. Did they pray? They prayed. I figured, the prayer's going to last a couple minutes. It seemed like an eternity. It was 20 minutes. And they told us to keep their eyes closed and no one peek. I peeked. I did two things. I want to see if anybody else was peeking. They weren't. I peeked. But what I saw were people that were sincere in what they said and what they did. That impressed me. I wanted to be a man like that. So the guy said, well, if you go, I'll buy your breakfast. Once again, it's food. But if you like what you see, I'd like to meet with you on Friday morning. I said, I can't meet on Friday morning. We have a sales meeting. What day would be good? My best day would be Monday. So that's really bad for me, but if you can do it at 6 o'clock, I can do it. I said, oh, that's great. I mean, I didn't even miss work. He did what's called an Operation Timothy. He went through the book of Romans with me, the first 8 chapters, and asked me questions about what we read. And he said, you're right. You're right. You're right. Now, Don, if you say all these things are right, do you have a problem knowing who God is? Have you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior? I said, no, but I think I will. Well, then you have to do it in church, because if you want to be like God, if you want God someday when you die to go to heaven, you have to claim me among men if you want to be claimed to Heavenly Father. He said something like that. And I go, okay, I'm in. So I invited my wife to come. My wife was totally shocked. She started coming. So that changed my life. Now, I was angry. Someone didn't buy, I was really angry. But something happened to me that made me a different man. Even the ladies at the office said, Don, what's going on? You're so much more mellow. You smile more. Even when you don't make a sale, we ask you, how did you make a sale? No, but, you know, I did the best I could. You know what? When you think of that parable of the talent that we were talking about, to me, when I was, and I still coach, I coach in a Catholic high school, and I do it because it's a ministry. One of the things every one of my players will tell you, your best is good enough for me. I only expect your best. You can't be the star. Now, we had Kenyon Barner. Now, Kenyon Barner plays in the pros. Kenyon Barner played for Oregon in that championship game. He would have gotten another three quarters of a yard. They'd have beat Alabama. That was one of my basketball players. And we have three pros in the NFL that played basketball, and that wasn't even their primary sport. But at a small Catholic high school, you're a good athlete. You should be playing two or three sports if you like. And it's funny because he was MVP in three sports, track, basketball, and football. And he's a Christian guy. He went to Calvary Chapel. So, you know, then I was like in my 30s, and I had a Pastor Hartman, Corona Heights Baptist Church, and he said, Don, we'd like you to be on the church board with the finance with a CPA. And I said, you want me to be with a CPA? Well, this guy is a CPA, and he's really good, but he's not a very communicator. You'll kind of be like his, well, it's like Moses had who? Moses, who? Aaron. You'll be like Aaron. And when he told me that, I said, okay, but I didn't really know that. Okay, I forgot. But you'll be like his Aaron. Well, he sent us back to Atlanta, Georgia, and Larry Burkett. Larry Burkett did a business by the book. That best. And he also did this 13-week course on changing time and values. Phenomenal. Taught that class every other quarter with Tom, the CPA. And it's kind of like going to marriage encounter, which is phenomenal. If you have a bad marriage, after about 2 hours, you're going to leave. It's for enrichment. It's not to improve a bad marriage. People realize they're so messed up with their finances that they quit. But the ones that get to the end really understand that finances are spiritual. The way you handle money is spiritual. And I can remember subsequently that summer, we'd go to Campus by the Sea. It's an inter-varsity camp on Catalina Island in Gallagher's Cove. It's about 2 miles up from Avalon. And 6 weeks of the summer, it's for college students. And 6 weeks, it's for families. So there's this one guy. His name is Stan. I can't remember his last name, but he's a college professor. Very devout Christian. I was asking him about tithe. So I get asked a lot about tithe. So I want to share the story about tithing. And I'll do it in 2 minutes or less. And he says, Don, do you believe in a tithe? And I said, yeah. You know what a tithe is? Yeah, it's 10%. Are you tithing? No. Do you want a tithe? Yeah. I said, you know, it's God loves a cheerful giver. He says, well, would you like to become a tither? Now, see, so many people, they need help. You need direction. So here's what Stan told me. He says, Don, he called it the graduated tithe. I want to graduate. Who doesn't want to graduate, right? Who doesn't want to progress in life with good things? He says, Don, you make X, you're giving X. When you get an increase, half the increase or a third of the increase, you decide what it is, and that you add to your tithe over what you're currently doing. Because he told the story of a guy that in his 30s was making $10 a week. And he asked his pastor to pray for him. And 20 years later, he was making $500 a week. This is in the 40s. That's a ton of money, okay? And so he asked the pastor, please help him get him so he could pay less on his tithe. Here's what the pastor said. I'll pray that you make $10 a week again. Did you get that? So you know what? That guy, he thought he was doing something significant. The significance was he did the plan. He gave. When he started to give too much, he thought maybe, he didn't say this, but now as a more mature person, you can't outgive God. And tithe is a minimum. And it's all about budgeting and priorities. Separating out what your real needs are from your desires, the things that are really wind up being useless and you hardly ever use in your garage you drive. That's why we'll never buy a car that's very expensive anymore. It costs too much for ministry and stuff. But that graduated tithe has been a great story. And then, of course, I am in the financial business. And I say, I have even people say, well, why do you, I said, are you tithing for your retirement? Well, what's a tithe? I said, you go to church? No. I said, well, you know, and then I actually tell them that little story. Okay. I tell them that little story. And they go, wow, that's pretty cool. I said, well, you know, you got to understand that if you're not a Christian, you got an extra 10% to play with that I don't. So, if you're making $1,000 a week and you're only saving three, I'm going to tell you, you need to save about 12% of your money, 10% for retirement, 2% for your short-term saving. And we'll do that with the same increase. I call them the same way. And most people will buy into it that want to be helped. They realize we'll start with them when they have a little. I said, you realize that I see you as the successful person you're going to be. but it's starting where you are today. What changes are you willing to make and put in use that are going to make you the more successful person in your life? The young man or young woman you are today, when you get to be my age, will be the person that can help you most. You can help yourself the most doing this. And people have no problems with that. Okay. So, you know, then fast forwarded up to when I was in my 40s, and Earl Musser took me under his wing. He's a dairyman and a very rich man that's in heaven now. But he took me under his wing for some reason, and he mentored me for 5 years. He wanted me to be the president of the Gideons out there, and I was for like 10 years after he was. And the most amazing thing that I ever learned about this man is he's convinced me that all the answers are in the Bible. You just got to look for them. You have to realize that you don't control the ship. He gave me this verse. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding and acknowledge him, and he shall set your path straight. He says, Don, do you know what that means? I said, I think, you know, I try to do all the things myself. I'm going to have trouble. You're right. He says, do you realize you'll have less problems when you pray about it and seek counsel from your wife or your business associates or your good friends? And you know, that kind of hit me the wrong way at first. But you know what? I tried it, and it worked. I would say that's the best thing. Pray about everything. The guy says he has to pray about everything. The only question I'd ask about that person is, I really like that. I do the same thing, but how long do you think that might take? Because sometimes that could also be an excuse. Christians are the best people to have excuses are Christians. And the easiest people to do business with are pagans, because they'll tell you straight up. The Christian will be trying to be too nice to you. I'm something in between there, okay? I mean, I'll be nice to you, but I'm going to be nice to you. I'm not interested at all. Please don't call me again. I'm doing you a favor. And so I have no trouble with that, because I don't want to waste their time, and I trust they wouldn't want to waste my time, because I want to help those who want to be helped. And so to end this thing up, the thing that I learned from Earl Musser is that when you would ask him a question, he would not give you an answer. He'd say, well, let's see what the Bible says. And that's kind of like where my life's been. What does the Bible say? What do I got to do? What do I got to change? And how can I help others to look at it the same way? Because you can't win anybody to the kingdom. You don't save anybody. It's all the Lord and the Holy Spirit. But you can be a facilitator. You can be an encourager. And the last two things I want to tell you is that I am not ashamed of the gospel. And the second thing I want to tell you, it's not a pick or choose thing. You got to believe it all or believe it. It's a total lie. And if I only had 1 minute with somebody to share my faith, I would say this. Hey, look, there's lots of people who claim to be God, prophets of God. Our God was crucified, took on all the sins of the world, was killed, put in the tomb, and he came back 3 days later alive. 45 days he walked the face of the earth, and now he's in heaven. I want to tell you something. That's the powerful God that I believe in. And you know what? You ought to get to know him.
Yeah, God is a powerful God. And if you're anything like me, hearing Don Frost's testimony really helps to put into perspective what it means to be a Christian man or woman in the marketplace. Marketplace ambassadors are something that we at CBMC, Orange County, strive to develop. So if you have been moved, or if God has touched your heart to learn more about what we're doing here at the Christian Businessmen Connection of Orange County, I strongly invite you to go to the website www.cbmcoc.com and check out some of our events. We have great events going on. Thank you for listening to this inaugural episode of CBMCOC Podcast. We look forward to putting out more podcasts for you to listen to and be inspired by. Until next time, God bless. This has been a Christian Business Podcast production.